Radio Free Press, a podcast from the Campaign for Press and Broadcasting Freedom, campaigning for free, independent and accountable media.
After yet another bleak year for the national press, with falling circulations and no recovery in advertising revenue, 2013 has opened with some fresh hopes for the future. The Guardian and The Observer are making a new push to maintain their share of the vital weekend market. The Daily Telegraph and Financial Times didn't do too badly in December. Sales of The Eye, a slimmed-down version of The Independent, increased by a third last year. And in London, two free newspapers are also doing well. But overall, the slide in circulation has been pretty relentless. With me is Barry Fitzpatrick, Deputy General Secretary of the National Union of Journalists, who's responsible for negotiating with the national press. Mr. Fitzpatrick, what do you think are the prospects for the national press in the year ahead?
Well, I think the prospects are that they're going to have to find a formula that will migrate revenue from print onto digital. But where we may disagree, I do not think they can afford to either discard or give up on print. These two things have to be run in tandem.
So when we hear the talk that the printed newspaper is the legacy product and the saviour is going to be online, you're a little bit dubious about that happening overnight.
I'm extremely dubious about it happening overnight and maybe ever happening at all. There's no evidence yet to show that advertisers are prepared to pay what they pay for print coverage of their products, and there's no evidence to show yet that readers are prepared to pay for digital content what they pay for the papers. So these two things have to come together before this can work. And although you mentioned earlier that The Eye is a success, and it is a success, I think it's 180,000 copies a day, it may be there's a hybrid solution to this, which independent news and media may have discovered, the combination of The Independent and The Eye. Maybe that's the future for some of the others. We'll see.
You seem to be accepting an inexorable decline, though, in sales, that falling circulation picture that we've seen is going to continue.
Well, I think it is. I think there were several million tablets sold over Christmas. I myself use a Kindle, and they're very convenient. They can be very cheap, and they're very flexible. On my Kindle, for example, I can read a newspaper anywhere in Europe the same day. If I wanted to buy that same newspaper, it would cost 4 or 5 euros, and I'd have to wait until the middle of the day to get it. So these are the sort of examples of where the world's changing. We have to go with it. Newspapers have to go with it.
Before we come on to this whole question of the future of the online world, let's just look at the position of the journalists, of course, the people that you represent. Now, where are we on that? I mean, what we have seen, haven't we, is national newspaper after national newspaper has been cutting back on its staff. We've had cutbacks at The Mirror, cutbacks at The Guardian. The list goes on and on. What do you see as the picture that's emerging at the moment, for the journalists?
The picture at the moment is they're being expected to do more with less and for less. And obviously, as a union, we have to represent their interest. We have so far managed to avoid compulsory redundancies over the last year, and yet there has been a large reduction in the numbers. So that is a positive. What we're hoping to do is create an environment where change can be negotiated without the threat or pressure of losing your job at the same time. And it's essential, if the content is to be maintained, that we achieve a relationship that enables journalists to influence what's happening and feel that they are valued and that they will get a say over what happens to their paper.
Is the union in a position then to fight compulsory redundancies if they do come along?
Well, we certainly are. I hate using the term fight because that obviously means there is a confrontation at The Guardian, at the FT, at the Express even. We have negotiated no compulsory redundancies. Now, I prefer that to be the way these things are done, but it does take longer. What we have to convince the ownership is that change can happen, and best happens if people are able to be genuinely part of that change and not pressurized or even forced into accepting it, or even losing their jobs as part of that process.
Now, you've been painting a pretty bleak picture. We know that online there have been some quite surprising developments. For example, the Mail online has carved out a position as almost a world leader in the way it presents news. Do you think that the UK national newspapers have got more tricks up their sleeve like the Mail online?
I think they are looking for that solution. I'm not sure that I would agree that they've got the same tricks up their sleeves or even yet have made their decisions. The Guardian in some ways has led the way with a very comprehensive product that at the moment is by and large free. News International have tried to charge a paywall. The jury's out as to whether that's working or not. The FT successfully is charging, but that's a rather unique product, and probably the answer lies in the nature of what it does. It's a financial newspaper. I suspect a lot of its paid readers can charge the cost of paying for their internet on the FT. That luxury is not available to the typical reader on the other titles, so they have to find a way of feeling that what they're paying for is worth the money that it costs, and it's also a product that they identify with. I think the key to a lot of this will lie in how these papers convince their readers that their future is secure if people understand that journalism is not cheap.
You seem to be suggesting that the concept of paying or making a contribution, perhaps even a click, every time you look at the newspaper on the iPad or on the Kindle, perhaps there will be a cumulative payment that goes to the newspaper. Is the NUJ, does the NUJ have a view yet on whether or not that is going to be the way forward?
I think personally, and I think the view of my union, is that journalism, good journalism, must be paid for. Therefore, I think it's inevitable that means subscriptions or some other reliable income from readers. So I do think that is the future, but we're a long way from getting there yet.
That would, of course, I mean, you mentioned The Guardian as being one of those newspapers that doesn't charge. Do you think that model of not charging, even for specialist services like the Media Guardian, for example, do you think that can survive?
Well, I think it can survive because of the trust and the commitment that The Guardian has made. I didn't really want to criticise The Guardian, but I wouldn't be... if I was asked that same question before they'd done it, I'd have perhaps had a different point of view, because I don't think it was the right decision that they made at that time. But it's been done now, and they have become a benchmark for the quality of editorial coverage, and that's something they deserve credit for. So, as I said earlier, it's not cheap. You can't get this for no revenue.
Let's look finally at another area. There's been a great big shadow hanging over the national press, the Leveson inquiry. We know that the editors are working with government ministers. There's a possibility that there could be an agreement. Do you think that shadow that's been cast over the national press, is it about to be lifted, do you think?
I think we're some way yet from it being lifted, as you put it. I think there's clearly meetings taking place between editors and with government and with the other political parties. There seems little evidence yet that they've reached any consensus on what their recommendations are going to be, and then it'll be subjected to a parliamentary process. So I don't think that's been lifted yet by any means. There's some way to go on that.
So if you could look at it from the perspective of journalists, how do you think journalists, as we used to say, the men and women on Fleet Street, on the street, how are they facing up to that fact that there's still that uncertainty and there's still that whole shadow of the Leveson inquiry over their trade?
Well, I mean, the events of News International have obviously left a huge scar on the confidence of journalists. The fact that a management would hand over information that's led to journalists being arrested, to inquiries continuing as we speak, that is a deeply worrying development, and one which I think is going to take some time for journalists to feel comfortable about. Already there's evidence to show that public servants, police, military, they're all now much more cautious about talking to journalists as a result of what's happened at News International. And that, I think, is cause for concern, because many of our members see their living, their purpose, as being to uncover and expose the shortcomings of government or society generally. And the whole episode at News International, which triggered the Leveson inquiry, has been, from that point of view, deeply worrying.
And of course, we have to say, Mr. Fitzpatrick, it's not over yet, is it? Because of course, there have been these dozens of arrests of journalists, as you say, at News International, from the former News of the World, from The Sun, on the perhaps bribery, perhaps potential bribery charges, phone hacking charges. The whole lot have still got to come to court, haven't they? So that isn't going to go away soon, is it?
It's certainly not. I think the trials are scheduled to go on for the next 2, even 3 years. And as you say, there was one arrest only last week on The Sun. So no, it's not over yet. And it's something which we'll have to live with, I suppose, as we go through the next year.
So finally, here you are in your job. You represent the NUJ, National Union of Journalists members, working in the national press. Looking ahead in your crystal ball, do you think times are going to get better for them?
I think times must get better for them, but in a way I likened it earlier today at a meeting I was at, when I said that newspapers are at a point now where they're a bit like the high street. The model is broken, and as yet no one's come up with the alternative. It might mean a hybrid version, as we've discussed earlier, such as The Independent, but it will certainly need everyone pulling together. That's the point. That's why I am optimistic, because I know our members and our union wants the industry to survive, and it wants journalism to survive, but not just any old journalism. Quality of journalism is what we are here for.
Well, thank you for that very sobering assessment, Barry Fitzpatrick, Deputy General Secretary of the National Union of Journalists. This podcast was produced by Claire Colley for the Campaign for Press and Broadcasting Freedom.